Now, over the past few days, judges and lawyers from around Australia have been gathering in Melbourne for a conference on drug courts. Drug courts are legal forums which deal exclusively with drug-addicted offenders. The idea is basically to combine law with problem-solving skills and in a collaborative way treat the causes of the addiction problem, not just simply punish the offence. Now, one of the biggest draw cards at this conference is Judge Peggy Hora, who hails from California. She's been a judge for some 21 years and she's been instrumental in building the international drug court movement. Judge Peggy Hora, welcome to Australia.
Well, thank you, and it's lovely to be back with you.
Fantastic. Tell me, drug courts, how do they differ from normal criminal courts?
Well, drug courts actually, as you mentioned, address the root causes of crime. They reduce recidivism, meaning that people who get a hold of their addictions, address their alcoholism and so forth, do not continue to offend again. They're also cheaper economically because prison is a very costly solution. You can punish people. They come out just as addicted as the day they walked in, and you've spent $80,000 a year. For a whole heck of a lot less money, you can treat the addictions, carefully monitor them to make sure the community is safe, and at the end of the time, you have a productive member of society rather than one that costs society so much money, grief, misery.
Okay, so in a conventional court, a judge decides guilty, not guilty, bangs the gavel, sentences the offender. What happens in this forum? How is it different?
Well, that's sort of the end of a traditional court. By total contrast, we know that coming back to court to meet with the team, to meet with the judge, where you have the law enforcement, you have the police prosecutors, defense, you have the treatment people, community corrections, and the judge. And the judge becomes very pivotal. There's some research being done right now on the paramedic court where upping the contacts from once a week to twice a week is showing marked improvements in the behavior, in the clean urines and so forth of the offenders. So that constant coming back to court and the wraparound services to address all the needs of the person tends to be and seems to be our best approach for drug-addicted offenders.
So the judge or the magistrate sort of morphs into a social worker almost. They sort of develop an ongoing relationship with these, I don't know, clients who come back once, twice a week.
Well, we usually call them participants.
Participants.
Which is different between calling them defendants or clients. So, yes, you do absolutely know more about them than any but in a regular criminal court, you get empathy with them. You give praise to them. You show respect, which is not to say regular criminal judges are not respectful, but there's a special relationship. I will leave social work to the professional social workers, but what we do as judges is encourage, support, threaten sometimes, mete out incentives and sanctions based upon their behavior.
Whether they fail the urine test, whether they turn up for a counseling session,
exactly.
Those sorts of things.
And we recognize the difference between somebody with a long-term alcohol or other drug problem being able to stay clean immediately is different from somebody who is required to show up, tell the truth, be on time. They can do that right now. They may not be able to test clean for a while, but they can do that. So you praise that and you give treatment responses to the positive urine test.
So you're a bit of a life coach.
I never quite thought of it like that. Yes, in a bit, yeah. Mm. And for many of these people, they have never had respect or that kind of positive contact with somebody like a judge who holds a high social position.
Mm. Now, many of these courts focus on particular categories of offenders. So you've got drug courts, but you've also got a whole host of other courts for people with their own problems or situations. What can you paint me a picture of the spectrum of the kinds of collaborative law courts that exist?
Certainly. There's adult drug courts, which were the first kind. Juvenile drug courts, where the identified person is the juvenile, which means you're going to have to work with their family. There's family drug courts, where people are losing custody of their children because of alcohol and other drug problems. That's about 80% of the time. And Judge Greg Levine is working very hard to set one up.
Head of the Children's Court here in Victoria, yeah.
Yep, and he's working very hard to set one up here in Victoria, which is very exciting. There's also veterans courts, there, which is appropriate for today, of course.
Yes, of course, Remembrance Day.
Yeah, and driving while impaired courts where the identified behavior is multiple drink drivers.
Let's talk more about veterans' courts because it is, of course, Remembrance Day. A lot of soldiers who've returned to the US from Afghanistan and Iraq, they do have a lot of problems, don't they? Tell me, what is the profile of the veterans who have returned and what sorts of issues are they facing?
Well, it's really grim and shocking and horrid. Many are returning with alcohol and other drug problems. Many, more than half, they're estimating about 60% returning with post-traumatic stress disorder and other mental health issues. The suicide rate among returning veterans is shocking, higher than any other category of people right now in the U.S. And as these patterns started to develop and we started seeing vets coming home with these kinds of problems, one of our dear, dear drug court judges, Judge Robert Russell in New York, said, hey, we need to address this. And it's a partnership between the Veterans Administration that can provide services and the court that addresses their offending and tries to get at what happened, what can we do, is this person going to be able to pull it back together or not? And they've been very successful, and they're very popular in recognition of the sacrifices that the vet and their family has made.
Absolutely. Do we know how many of these veterans' courts now exist across the USA?
Yes, there's more than 100 right now.
Goodness me.
Oh, and there's 500 in the planning stages. This is just an idea that's taken off like crazy. And the branch of the National Association of Drug Court Professionals that deals with this is called Justice for Vets. And people can go, if they're interested, and look at that page at allrise.org.
What a great name. Tell me, so you're talking about people who are suffering post-traumatic stress disorder, homelessness, drug abuse, alcohol abuse. That's translating into crime.
Absolutely. A lot of domestic violence. We've had many murders by returning vets who, in the midst of a post-traumatic stress incident, think that they're still in combat, think that, insurgents are coming or there's, bombs up ahead, and end up killing parts of their family, their wives in particular. So some very, very serious things, down to, just getting the money for the alcohol and other drugs, just like all the other folks we see in regular courts, in regular treatment courts.
I'm wondering, in most societies, we don't have a lot of sympathy for criminals because, they're breaking into our houses or sometimes far worse, occasionally far worse. What about veterans? Is there a perception in the USA that these are people to whom the wider society has a special obligation and maybe it's worthwhile investing these sorts of resources into them?
I believe so. There's, sort of a hierarchy of empathy, if you will. Veterans, especially if they left whole and came back damaged, we have an obligation, absolutely, to help them return to society in a healthy way. Whereas there's this thought of, well, addicts have brought it on themselves and they're, they deserve to be where they are. And the fact is nobody started out to be an addict. People started out using drugs, and then when that switch flipped from abuse to addiction, then they no longer have control of it. And unless you address that, they're going to continue to commit crimes. But absolutely, alcoholics are slightly higher in the hierarchy and illicit drug addicts are lower. Now you have the pill people, the oxycodone and so forth. They're above addicts because at least they started out with legal prescriptions.
Right.
So it's very interesting, the continuum of compassion, if you will.
The hierarchy of offenders and the hierarchy of compassion. Judge Peggy Hora, great talking to you. Thank you very much for coming into Sunday Extra and telling us about drug courts in the USA. And, of course, you were speaking at a conference organised by the Australian Institute of Judicial Administration. Peggy Hora, thank you very much.
And Monash Law School.
And Monash Law School. You're listening to Sunday Extra here on Radio National. I'm Damien Carrick.